How I Like That, a podcast about things we like and occasionally things we don't. I'm Sally Tamarkin.
And I'm Aubrey Gordon.
Aubrey Gordon, you are back. Welcome.
Delighted to be here, Sally Tamarkin. What a treat.
Likehead favorite, Likehead Nation favorite, Aubrey Gordon. You're back.
I am one of you.
You're a Likehead.
I am a member of Likehead Nation.
You are. You're a member. And I'm thrilled to have you here. We have like a topic to discuss that was suggested by a fellow Likehead. So I'm like thrilled to get into it. But let's start out as we always do with the vibe check. Aubrey, tell me about the vibe for you right now.
The vibe for me right now is a weird mix of like, I am just a dental catastrophe. Just like I am just the crescendo of like all of the most dissonant chords, and that's happening inside my mouth and teeth. So as Sally knows, I have been through like a little dental odyssey that involved a brief bout of lockjaw and now some weird jaw bruising. There's a lot going on. That is not great. So the dental vibe is poor.
Right. Sure. Absolutely.
but other than that, I'm doing like the most fun research that I keep texting you about incessantly, about like truly wackadoo wellness grifters for my show, for Maintenance Phase. And that has been like a true joy. There is nothing that I love more than chasing down a weird health and wellness grifter. And I got a real doozy on my hands this week.
Woo. You have a real doozy on your hands. I also really enjoy some wellness grift shit. And this is a great one because it's like a little bit off the beaten path. And obviously we're not going to, you know, spoil Maintenance Phase
sure,
at all.
Sure, sure, sure.
But I feel confident that like even those who are deep in the like wellness grift space are going to find a lot of new surprising things.
It has been new and surprising to me. I own multiple products from this company. So I'm like, whoa!
Yes.
The call is coming from inside the house.
From the inside of a lot of our houses, in fact. I'm really excited. And I'm really glad that is offsetting your dental work hell, which some, you know, occasionally you've kind of been like, told me what's going on. And I've been like, no, you already told me that. But it's not, it's just that it happened again. So
yeah, totally. It's just more and new things. Fun. Yeah.
But I'm really glad that you have the fun. There's something like a grifter
to keep
one's fears. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. How about you? What's your vibe?
Well, you know, similarly in terms of like the concept of like, why must we have bodies, Lord? My week started out not amazing because I made a really good decision, which was to get the new COVID booster and a flu shot. But I also made the very bad decision of getting them both in the same arm, which I cannot stress to you enough out there, Likeheads, get them in separate arms. I know that it's like, you know, your mileage may vary. It's a very personal thing. You know, I don't know your life. I don't know your arms. But let me just tell you, oh boy, did it hurt. I got the booster at like 10 o'clock Monday morning, and I was awake truly all night that night just because my arm hurt so goddamn bad. And I should say I can't take Advil or like any kind of ibuprofen, basically any kind of, I rely on Tylenol for pain relief, which is a true LOL. So, you know, if you can take Advil, maybe it wouldn't be this bad. But anyway, the point is my arm hurts so bad for a lot of Monday and Tuesday. It felt better Wednesday, but it just like upended my week because I didn't sleep well. And then also now, Aubrey, you might know this. I think you probably do. If you touch a jalapeno pepper and then you like ever so briefly, like touch the tip of your nose, you can transfer the burning sensation that the jalapeno pepper is so well known for to the inside of your nose.
Oh, buddy.
Now, I don't ever eat jalapeno peppers because I don't eat spicy foods. They don't agree with me. I took them out of my meal and immediately, you know, got rid of them, washed my hands for 20 seconds as one does during the pandemic. And let me tell you something, 20 seconds of soap and water no match for jalapeno. The inside of my nose was burning. And I was like, I'm going to spray it with some saline mist. That's going to help. Oh boy, did it get worse. Googled it and it was like, you know, it was like, I didn't realize that's what happened. I thought that I had some strange like nostril affliction because my nose was burning. I Googled it and it was like, you know, if your nose is burning, you probably got some like jalapeno pepper up there. Water makes it worse, which I had already discovered like the hard way. So basically what you have to do, folks, let me give you some like pro tips if you accidentally get jalapeno pepper in your nose. And if you don't want to hear me talk about the inside of your nose, you can just like skip a little while, like, I don't know, 15 seconds or so. You gotta put yogurt or milk up there, Aubrey. So what you do is you grab a Q-tip and you dip it in the tub of your faya, your Greek yogurt. Luckily we had plain, and you just swab. And then actually that didn't really do the trick. So I soaked a paper towel in milk and just like held it to my nose. It was like deeply unpleasant, and it happened. It was like the night after the worst day of arm pain after my shots. And so I was the first part of this week, I was just feeling like God was testing me. You know, that passed. My nose is better. My arm is better. And it feels really autumny here. It's like the first really, really chilly day, which is a delight. So like things really turned around. But the vibe in the beginning of the week was just not great.
The vibe at the beginning of the week sounds like, for both of us, just like, I'm a mess. like that's the vibe.
Just a mess. Just a gosh darn mess. But like things have turned around and that's really cool. And I'm also like thrilled to be recording with you. So that also really helps the vibe.
It's very fun, isn't it? Like, I'm pretty excited to be recording.
Okay, so just a quick announcement before we get into it. So as you've probably noticed, since Rachel left the show, I haven't maintained the most regular release schedule. And that's because I'm just trying to kind of figure out what the show is going to be going forward. And I realized that to do that, I actually need to take a little bit of a hiatus and kind of like figure out what the plan is. So after this episode, I'll release like two or three more episodes and then I'm going to take a break. I want you to please keep Oh, I Like That in your feed because I will be back with announcements. And I just want to thank you all so much for bearing with me. And, you know, the show's been through a lot of changes and I appreciate all of you for continuing to listen and to write in and to, you know, talk to me on Instagram, which please continue to do because that's really fun. I'm still going to be Instagramming even when the show is on hiatus, and that's at Oh, I Like That Pod. Yeah, so please keep the show in your feed because I'll be back to keep you posted on what's next. And I'll also pop in here to tell you when you can find other stuff I'm doing that you might like. So a lot of you might already know that I have joined fellow likehead Caroline Moss as the co-host of her show, Gee Thanks, Just Bought It. We've already recorded a bunch of episodes, so please go check that out. And I have other stuff in the works as well. So as I said, keep this in your feed. We'll be back with announcements and stuff like that. Again, thank you so much for like just listening and bearing with us and, you know, being cool while I figure it out. Okay, so having said all that, let's keep it moving. We are going to talk about working from home. One of our likeheads, friend of the show, former guest co-host, Alex, asked us to talk about how you've built your freelance life that you don't want to die, / how do you build your work life in a way that deviates from how they do it in offices but serves your needs without feeling guilty and like a lazy baby? So I thought those were really good questions, and these are things that I grapple with a lot as a freelancer. So I figure, you know, I'm a freelancer. Aubrey, I don't know. I mean, do you call yourself a freelancer, or is it more that you're like self-employed? I don't know. Are those different things? I don't know if those are different things.
I say self-employed because it feels more reflect. Like, I feel like I'm doing less of the like catching freelance writing assignments kind of life. Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So I say I'm self-employed because it's mostly at this point books and podcasting.
Right.
But okay, like, so. But like indistinguishable from the life of a freelancer in like 98% of the ways. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, totally. But now that you say that, I realize they're not totally interchangeable. But like, Yeah. So, I mean, I think that like the deal is that like a lot of, maybe some of the stuff we'll talk about is only applicable if you are a freelancer or are self-employed. But I think also we just have a lot of general how to work from home and like be productive type of tips. So hopefully this will be like broadly applicable.
Sure. Whatever.
Yeah. Great.
Either one.
Both,
I'm in.
Maybe both. Okay. So Aubrey, can you start us off? Like, tell us a little bit about like your first work from home tip.
I'm actually going to start with one that I feel like is one of the big ones, which is let your day take the shape that it needs to. So figure out when you're most productive or least productive, figure out when your mind sort of drifts anyway from the work ahead of you, and build your day around when you have that kind of energy. So for me, that looks like, you know, waking up at about 7, walking the dog, having a little breakfast, and then working from 9 to like 2 or 3, and then taking a break for a long time and doing another couple of hours of work in the evening. And doing an evening routine for the next day so that I wake up the next day with my to-do list written so that I don't have like extra emails hanging over my head to start the day, all that kind of stuff. Like those are the things that have been sort of core components for me. And I think that's stuff that you only really figure out when you let yourself kind of luxuriate in the amount of time that you have and let it really, really, again, sort of take the shape that it needs to. I don't know. Is this something that resonates with you, Sally? Is this a thing that you've sort of grappled with?
Yeah, majorly. One of the things I was going to talk about was just like, you know, I think like one of the things about working on like a 9-to-5 schedule or 10-to-6, whatever, if that's the kind of situation you've been in, is that you don't always realize that like for me, it took being a freelancer to realize that that's not really a good schedule for me because I wake up really early and by like 2 o'clock, I just start to like decline. I lose motivation. I lose focus. And so it's like the 10 to 6 or 9-to-5 thing has never been great for me because it means that like I'm missing a couple of hours when I could be really productive in the morning. And then also being made to like sit at a desk and like pretend to work for like 3 hours when I'm actually not getting anything done. So a huge thing that has been part of my process as a freelancer is figuring out when I'm not even just like, it's not even just about productivity, but like when I guess it is about productivity, like basically like when I'm going to do my best work and when I'm going to have to spend the least amount of time trying to like wrangle my brain into doing the kind of thinking that it needs to do. So, you know, truly like doing work between like 7 in the morning and like 2 in the afternoon is when I'm going to get the most done. And also just when my work is going to be at its best. And, you know, that means that sometimes maybe I can save some stuff for the late afternoon, like some maybe like administrative stuff that where I don't need to like think too deeply, but mostly like it feels like wrong if you've been conditioned to like to work on a 9-to-5 schedule. But like usually at like 3 or sometimes 4, I'm like, we're done here. Like I'm not getting anything else done. Like the workday is over.
Well, part of it is that 9-to-5 schedule, you're just expected to kind of roll with it. So you turn off all of those cues that are like, I'm losing energy, I'm losing whatever, right? And like what that kind of capitalist productivity culture tells you to do is then go, well, if you're losing energy during the day, that's your problem to solve, right? Rather than just being like, you might just be out of steam at that point in the day and that's okay. Go away and do something else for a while and then come on back, right?
Totally. Yeah. One of the like most valuable things I've learned. And I actually learned this from my partner who is really good at noticing, like she'll sometimes like come downstairs and be like, I'm just going to stop working because it's taking me so long to do a tiny amount of work. Like she's very tuned into when her brain is basically like, hey, we're done. And I never was like that. I would always just push through because I always assume that's just like what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to like go have some coffee or I don't even know, splash some water on your face or like whatever you're supposed to do. But sometimes your brain is just sort of like, no, like, and I found that when I pay attention to that, then I can come back and actually get work done in a real way, whether it's later that day or the next day. And of course, like one of the main notes I wrote down to talk about is that, like, all of this really depends on what you're able to do based on, like, when you're expected to be working. Like, if your hours aren't flexible, if you are a caretaker of any kind, like, all of this stuff is totally subject to your own personal schedule. So I think there's an asterisk beside everything we're talking about that what we mean to say is, like, to the extent you can, these are the kinds of things that have helped us.
I would say, in addition to all of that, like, I'm not a person with, like, ME/CFS or lupus or anything that would impact my energy level. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, take all of this as it is, which is, like, from, you know, folks who don't have caretaking responsibilities, are mostly freelancing and sort of self-employed, kind of, like, making the shape of our own days. And as you noted, like, are not caretakers. Those are all big factors that you should account for in your own planning, and that we don't.
Totally, totally. And I don't know, Aubrey, if you feel this way, but, like, I am now realizing that even though I was, like, at work, quote unquote, from, like, 9 to 5 or whatever it was, a lot of that time was spent not working because I was either, like, taking breaks as one does, or I was trying to, like, make myself work when I just didn't have any steam left. And so I feel like if you work for, you're supposed to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, which is completely ridiculous. But I feel like in reality, for a lot of people who work in offices, and I know this isn't universal, I know some people are out here, like, nose to the grindstone working, like, 60-hour weeks. But I also know that a lot of people who work in offices are there for 40 hours a week, but probably only doing, like, 25 hours worth of work, which is how it should be. But I would say embrace that. And, you know, if you can get your, don't make yourself work 40 hours if you don't have to. Like, if you can get your work done in 25 or 30 or whatever it is, lean into that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you have the flexibility to do that, absolutely go for it. And if you don't, I'm sorry, most of us don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, well, sorry.
Totally.
I would say, related to that sort of set of conversations about sort of, like, what's our relationship to productivity culture and, like, fucking hustle culture, like, one of my least favorite phrases, hustle culture, is, I think, one of the things that I have sort of started to settle into getting more comfortable with is repurposing a bunch of the tools that I learned from those settings to make them meet my own needs. So, for example, I used to use a time tracking app because it was strongly recommended at my work and because it helped me in my old office job sort of track what I was spending the most and least time on and all that kind of stuff and plan for the future, all that kind of stuff. That's deeply tied to how much work can you pack into a day and be more productive for the company, whoever the company is, right? I have recently returned after a, you know, 6 or 7 year break from time tracking. I have recently returned to it because I was noticing that at the end of each day, I would spend all day doing stuff. And at the end of the day, I would feel like I hadn't gotten anything done. And I was trying to figure out what was, like, going on there. So I started tracking my time. And I also was having what I feel like is probably some pretty standard issue, like, weird capitalism hangover guilt about working from home and feeling like that was, like, too cushy and meant it wasn't, like, real work or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of that weird kind of stuff. So I started tracking my time. And what I found was that I was working all of the time. I was just working constantly. And I was like, oh, well, if I'm tracking my time and I'm finding out that I'm working constantly, then the problem isn't that I'm not working enough. The problem is that I'm overcommitting myself. So I have kept time tracking off and on as a way to keep myself accountable to working less and to taking more and realer breaks and that kind of thing, which feels a little ass backwards. Like, time tracking feels like the least anti-capitalist tool around. Right? Like, wow, really not? And there's something really fun about taking that back and being like, no, I want to use it for this purpose.
Totally. Yeah, I do track my time when I'm working for a client because that I when a client is paying me hourly.
Sure, and you have to.
Yeah. You have to, but it has helped me notice, like, I'll be like, wait, I spent 8 hours doing this and I didn't produce anything. What's happening there? And then that makes me think like, okay, like, it makes me figure out what is going on with the project that needs to be dealt with. And so I think you're right. It's like a very good tool of just sort of like building some awareness, which I really think that like a lot of what we're talking about today is talking about like being trying to make your own schedule after so long working in offices or just like in a culture where you're really not supposed to make your own schedule. And so even if you have a 9-to-5 job, but you work from home, you still have more flexibility than if you had a 9-to-5 job and you worked in an office. And I think that there's a lot of like unlearning that you have to do to like, let me make a diet culture analogy, Aubrey, and tell me what you think.
Excellent.
Of this.
Excellent. Oh, you know my brand.
one of the things about diet culture and like diets is that there are all these like rules about what you can eat and when you can eat. And a lot of what you have to like learn how to do when you leave that behind is like actually be like, wait, but what do I like to eat? And what do I want to eat? And when do I want to eat and stuff like that? And it's like, I think it you can sort of lose track of the fact that you actually have your own schedule and your own needs and your own desires because you've been following mm-hmm. rules for so long.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? And I yes. feel like it's the kind of the same thing with office stuff. And to bring that all back around, I think that's where the time tracking thing can be really helpful because you can sort of start to see patterns that it would maybe be hard to notice otherwise.
So what can I ask you, what kinds of patterns? So you've talked a little bit about getting up early and being done by sort of mid-afternoon. Are there other patterns that you have sort of picked up on for yourself in your own reacclimating to just working from home?
Yeah, totally. I've noticed that when I try to wake up and do creative work right away, my brain is just like not really turned on. So like I'll get up and be like, time to get some creative writing done. And it's like, no, that's not happening. But I'm ready and I have the energy. So it's like one thing I've noticed is to like when I get up, that's like a great time to get some emails done, make a to-do list. Like there's a lot of shit I can get done in that period of time when I'm like awake and I have energy, but my brain isn't totally ready to turn on yet. So that's one thing. And then the other thing, again, like I think the time tracking has really helped me see that like I'll spend a lot of time spinning my wheels trying to get something done. And it's not that like I have quote unquote writer's block or which I have had. That's its own thing. It's not necessarily like writer's block. It's not necessarily that I'm not like good at my job or I don't know how to do the project. It's that like my brain needs a break. Like, and my brain might need a 1 minute break of like doing something else or taking a walk or whatever. But it's like, it's all of this, like kind of thinking about time tracking and like when my brain works best has helped me notice that more instead of being on the autopilot that I was on for so long. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I also feel like it feels like you're getting at something that is like for sure on my list, which is just knowing that this is always a moving target, mm-hmm. right? That like there's not going to be, at least for me, there's not going to be a single winning formula that I'm going to be like, I work like this from home and I'm going to do that until the end of my work life. It's going to work that way steadily, the end.
Totally.
Like, that's not really a realistic expectation for me. Like, the ways that I like to do things and how I like to do things change sometimes just because they don't work anymore and sometimes because circumstances change, right? Like, I used to go for long drives and then go for a hike with my laptop and then sit down somewhere on the hike and write for long stretches of time. It was really, really fun. And I now have a tiny terrified dog and COVID happened. And both of those things became less appealing and less functional as sort of ways of being. Mm-hmm. And I started writing way the fuck more. And you can't really... I don't know. It was just, it was really hard to hit a stride with writing if I was like literally just like hiking through the woods every day in order to get there. Like I had to find some other ways to like get to the headspace of writing. That kind of stuff of just anticipating that whatever systems you create are going to need to change at some point and just being prepared to sort of stay in touch with your own internal cues and continually assess what's working for you and what's not feels like very much a part of this to me.
I think a lot of what we're talking about comes back to something that I think a lot of people will be familiar with if they've engaged in any kind of like critical thinking to unlearn some like shitty, oppressive, toxic stuff in our culture, such as like your misogyny, your white supremacy, your patriarchy. And that is that like, I really think to sort of, because Alex said like, how do you freelance and be productive, but also not feel lazy and stuff like that? And I think a lot of that is about like doing some really deep work around, you know, what you said, Aubrey, about hustle culture and like capitalism and all that stuff. And, you know, there are a lot of ways in which like we can't untether ourselves from these oppressive systems for like many reasons. And that's just sort of reality. But like, I do think that there are ways you can untether like in spirit. I think there are ways you can like materially untether, and those are the things that we're talking about. But I think also, you know, the thing of like being able to take breaks without feeling lazy or being able to say no to a meeting without feeling unproductive, I think that's the kind of thing that comes from doing really deep work, and whatever that looks like for you. And it's an ongoing project. Like I feel, you know, I'm like racked with guilt anytime I, you know, have like 2 hours where I'm not doing my best work and getting a lot done and stuff like that. But, it, you know, then I have to like have a conversation with myself about that, you know? And I think it's like you were saying, Aubrey, like about, you know, the like sort of working from home thing, like it's an ongoing process. You're going to sort of always be figuring it out. And a big thing that I try to do is like, if I feel really shitty or guilty or whatever, I just like let myself feel that way. I wish I didn't feel that way. And I wish I could, you know, flush all of this toxic capitalist stuff out of my system, but I'm not going to add another thing onto it by being like mad at myself for feeling guilty. It's like, you know, sometimes you just have days where you kind of feel bad, you know, and that's okay. Like, you know, I mean, it's, you know, everyone has to be aware of their own like mental health and shit like that. But like feeling really bad, like you're not getting enough done or you're taking too many breaks or you're resting too much. First of all, I doubt that's true. I think you're probably all not resting enough, but feeling that way is normal. And you just, I think sometimes you just have to let it wash over you. And then tomorrow's a new day and, you know, hopefully you'll feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I had a therapist tell me years ago a thing that was really, really helpful to me, which is sort of the idea of primary and secondary emotions. Have we talked about this? Have you and I talked about this? Okay. So the idea is that your primary emotions are just like how you feel, and your secondary emotions are how you feel about how you feel. And her point was, your primary emotions are never wrong. Your secondary emotions are where you get into trouble, is like totally. Judging how you feel is like where you get into hot water. So like totally agreed and co-signed that like judging your feelings or wishing they were different or trying to force them to be different, like none of those things have actually helped me change those feelings or move through them as much as just feeling them and deciding to let them be. And then like, it's amazing how quick that release of those feelings can be after that. And the other thing that I would say is, in addition to doing your work around capitalism and productivity culture and all of that kind of stuff, I think there is also quite a bit of ableism tied up in how we think about working and what we're able to do and how much we deliver and all of that kind of stuff feels not disconnected from what we expect of disabled people, from our own sets of fears about disability if you're not currently disabled, right? Like, it just feels like there's a lot there that is very, very, very linked to sort of unlearning your own capitalist stuff. So I wanted to just like throw that in there, go read some books, go do some thinking about your sort of like attitudes toward disability in yourself and others. Like, it feels like a related thing here, you know?
I could not agree more. And I think like part of like doing the deep work I was talking about is like you're saying reading books, but also like, you know, there are like so many good like Instagram accounts where people are in really interesting, smart ways unpacking all of these things and really just like opening Instagram and seeing like someone make a really good point about any of the things we're talking about, that is also helpful in and of itself. Like, I think that doing this kind of deep work, it doesn't mean like, okay, we'll go to therapy for a decade, read 50 books and become an expert on like capitalism and stuff like that. It really just means like little by little, try to mix in some of the stuff that I think a lot of people kind of know instinctively and or intellectually is right, that like we all deserve rest. We all deserve a living wage. We all deserve to be able to stop and eat food, like all those things. But it's like, we can know that. And also, how many times, I don't know if you relate to this, Aubrey, but like, I have like given so many friends this lecture of like, you're doing more than enough. You need to rest. You need a break. Like, you need to take care of your body and your brain. But when it comes to me, I'm like, but I don't deserve rest. I don't deserve to rest my body and brain, you know, totally. That whole thing.
Totally. Which is also like an indicator to, I do exactly the same thing. And when I do that, I go, that means I'm withholding part of my endorsement from my friends too. Right. That like, if I'm not all the way there with myself on this stuff, then I'm also not all the way there on other people on this stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Like, that's such a good point. Like, yeah.
Get myself realigned around sort of where I actually am versus where I wish I was.
I do believe that fake it till you make it can be really effective and really good. And there are so many like tips and products and things that can make us get to where we want to be. But a thing that there's no substitute for is like doing the deep work around those things. And sometimes the deep work is like dealing with your own stuff and like you have trauma or you have, you know, your brain is rotted from capitalism or a combination of that, like whatever the deep work is, like, you know, and I think that like one of the reasons that I sometimes get a little bit frustrated with lifestyle journalism is that there's this like sort of emphasis on like just life hacking your way out of things and or through things. And I love a life hack. I love a pro tip. I love a product. I love to buy something. But I think that like all of those things to me are only really helpful and effective if I'm also like engaging in a real way, like intellectually and kind of psychologically with all of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. And I do think like quite a bit of that stuff, like the life hacky stuff, is like both like fun and useful and also can be like a, like never really states its context, which is just like, these are stopgaps for you while you're working in an untenable system. Do you know what I mean? Like that's like, that feels like the other part that feels sort of missing from the like life hack end of journalism. Does that make sense?
100%. Yeah. And I think it's also missing from the, like the chorus of people and entities who are like, just go to therapy. And it's like, well, therapy's not going to make this oppressive system I'm in better. You know what I mean? Like, I love
therapy.
Yeah. Like, I love therapy. But again, like that recommendation is like lacking context. And so, that's it. I don't have another, there's no like dot, dot, dot. It's lacking context. But having said all that, let's talk about some other hacks and
some tips.
Let's talk about some tips. For example, you have some really inspired stuff about snacks that I'd love to talk about.
It took me a while as someone who has a weird sort of broken relationship to productivity and as a fat person, both. to acknowledge that it is really helpful to me to have snacks when I work from home. So like, it took me a couple years to just be like, hey, you really like having a cup of tea in the middle of the day. Why don't you just set up an electric kettle next to your desk with like all of your fancy teas and just have it right there. And then you get to just have a nice cup of tea in the middle of your day. Or, like I cycle through different snacks. My current favorite is, no joke, one of the tiny cans of spicy V8 and a Babybel cheese.
It's like a deconstructed, like...
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary, right?
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine who has two small kids. I do not. And she was like, that's like a mom snack. And I was like, I don't have that excuse. Nope. I just like it and keep buying it. Babybel's and spicy V8. But like... that stuff has been really helpful. And then the other thing that I've noticed is really helpful to me is that when I really do hit my stride with writing and research, I only really notice that I'm hungry and only really think about food when it's like past the point of no return, when I'm like extremely hangry or like really, really like, you know, way too far gone. So for me, the other thing that has been helpful is having prepared foods in the fridge. And sometimes that means doing my own meal prep. Sometimes it means like grabbing convenience containers at the grocery store of prepared foods. It can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But like that has been really helpful to me, is just having food ready to roll so that I don't have to like think about it when I feel like I'm focused on this other thing.
Yeah, that's huge. I'm thinking now about how when I worked in an office, so much of my routine was based around a break in the middle of the day where you go get lunch, and maybe it's like you're just grabbing lunch that you brought, but maybe you're going out with a coworker, but it's sort of a ritual thing that there's this lunch break. And I have the problem of when I'm working from home that I think one of the trickiest things about working from home, and I think like a lot of people experience this like in the very beginning of the pandemic, is that everything feels like this undifferentiated block of time where you're like at home, but you're working, and you're in your pajamas, but you're at work, and you're in your living room, but it's your office and stuff like that. And that's still a thing that I have a problem figuring out, is the like when to eat thing, because without that artificial structure that I've relied on for so long, I'm sort of like, wait, what do I like to eat? And when do I like to do that? And I have so many times when I get past the point of no return and I get hangry, it's a real mess. You know what I mean? Like, and especially when you get too hungry to think about what to eat, then you have like a crisis because you can't like, you know, so the thing of like having things that you can grab, I feel like this feels like one of those common sense tips I should have known, which is just like have some snacks at your desk. And yet I'm experiencing the thing where my mind is blown, where I'm like, oh my God, I could totally do that. I could have snacks at my desk.
Can I tell you what my snack was for years? It was one of my favorites. Was I would just keep, like, I got one of those hinged top glass jars. Do you know the ones that I'm talking about? It has like a little latch that holds it shut, so that I could refill it and so that it felt like fancy. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I love
like,
that.
More than having just the container of the snack, it felt so much fancier to have a jar full of it. So I had a jar and I would fill it up with everything bagel seasoned cashews.
Oh.
Oh, buddy. Get them at Costco. They're delicious.
That's a great tip. That is a really good tip. Also, I have to say, like, having Zoomed with you, I can see that you have, like, you'll light a candle, you'll pour a tea. I feel like you have a whole situation.
I do. I have decided that the thing that works best for me is like an immense amount of creature comforts.
Love that.
Like pillows, blankets, comfortable places to sit, like, you know, good lighting, things that I like to be around, food that I like to eat, all of that kind of stuff makes it all feel like as much of a treat as it is to just get to have a job that is a thing that I would want to do anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, which again, I feel like is a thing that if you work in an office for long enough, you're not used to the idea that like the place where you do work should also feel inviting and comfortable and nice. Because of course, absolutely, people bring in like tchotchkes and they put them on their desk. But you know, you you know, it's like harder to sit around with like your big fluffy blanket and your tea service and your special candle and like your jar of snacks. But like, that's just, these are just, this is gold. These are good tips. I'm going to start doing this stuff.
I'm so glad. Wait, talk to me, for you, as you have left like working in offices, are there things that you do now that you find helpful or enjoyable that you wouldn't have dreamed of doing in an office setting?
Yeah. I mean, for one thing, I have a candle. Smells really good. I have a candle. I do have a bunch of like things on my desk that I like to look at, which I never was a person who had that before, but I have my little, San Junipero Funko Pops. I have I have a couple of Game of Thrones dudes. I have some fancy cats, such as this cat in a top hat and a bow tie. I have my Mike Linder bobblehead.
Arguably the most on-brand Sally thing.
Definitely. I have like a basketball card of like my favorite Sixer. So I have a lot of little things. So that is like, I love to sit down here and like look at all my things. I have Dylan McKay, whatever. So that's great. And then the other thing that's like a huge thing for me that I never really did before, because I've only ever worked in cubicles except for a very brief time when I was at Self and I had my own office, is that I try to keep my desk and my office really tidy, and I fail at that a lot, but I really do try, because when my area isn't tidy, it's very hard for me to think. I know other people feel this way. I feel like it's very common that when my environment is chaotic, I feel chaotic. Sometimes it's a matter of like, Aubrey, what you can see on my camera right now, I mean, it's not great. I have some papers here, but for the most part, things probably look reasonably ordered. But if you saw behind me, behind this bookcase, you would see that it's just fucking World War III back there. But it's fine, because it's the part of my office that I don't see a lot. I get to it when I get to it. Like, it's never on camera. It's the storage part of my office. And, you know, I'm not going to leave it like that forever. I'm not going to wait until there are stacks that are like knee high of like various things, but it's like, it's fine for now. And so that, to me, because I tried to be one of those people who, you know, everything is ordered and looks good and feels good and feels right. And it's too hard for me. I can't do that. I'm not that kind of person. But what I can do is I can keep things like moderately tidy, as long as I have a place for overflow that I get to every so often.
I would say the thing that has helped me on that front is, you know, I have like yelled at you so many times about my evening routine stuff, because it feels so like fantastic to me.
It's inspired.
And one of the parts of my like evening routine when I really do the whole thing, which is not always, is taking like 20 minutes to tidy up, both in my office, but also just like where I live writ large. Just like get things tidy and then wake up the next morning to a tidy house. Like, what would be a bigger boost to my own like mindset and outlook for the day than that? I don't know. Like, it's a pretty good one to just wake up in a clean space, I find.
It is. And I feel like 20 minutes of tidying gives you so much more in return than what you spend, than like the energy you have to spend in those 20 minutes, you know?
Yes, totally. And often, like, increasingly, oh, this is another work from home thing that I would not have dreamed about doing in an office. I have TV on almost all day.
Love that. Can you write with TV on?
Writing is harder. Writing, I usually have it on for the first like 5 or 10 minutes of trying to think of a thing so that it's not the intimidating silence of a quiet room. But then after that, it goes off. But for the most part, for like research stuff or any of that kind of stuff, just having a little background noise, I feel like there's something that like mimics the social nature of a workplace a little bit. That's just like, I just want to hear people talking. I'm not really totally paying attention. Usually I'll just like put on YouTube and let it do the algorithm work. Great. But like, that's been a really, really, really helpful thing to me, and it's a thing that is like totally fucking verboten in like workplaces, right? It's not a thing that I would ever dream of doing if like I had a boss that was gonna stop by my desk. Like, no. But if I'm working from home and I'm like reading up on like whatever health and wellness grifter and it helps me to feel like there's some sound in the background. Sure, man, put on whatever.
Yeah, I love that. I do that when I'm doing also like researchy type stuff or things where I don't have to like generate a lot of my own thoughts. Like if I'm not writing, I can do that. And you know what I've also done in a similar vein is like I've gone on like YouTube or Spotify and put on like coffee shop noise. And it's just like, you hear sort of distant conversations and you hear an espresso machine and a door opening and closing, like as if you're working in a coffee shop. That's a good time. It's kind of atmospheric.
That one sounds killer. It also made me think of two other favorites of mine. One, the 24-hour train cam.
Oh, yeah. You've sent to me that before.
One's
that's
great.
Amazing.
And the other one, which I'm sure I've sent to you, are like all of the live webcams from the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Oh, so good. You have...
Like you can just put on a screen of like jellyfish bloop, bloop, blooping across the screen or like otters playing or like, you know, waves lapping against the shore or whatever. Like it's the most lovely, relaxing. Like it's like a white noise machine while you work. It's great.
That's so good. Yeah.
It's really, really great.
I'm going to link to a couple of those in the show notes because those are really, really good.
Yeah, link to your coffee shop. I mean, send me
I will.
Whether or not you link to it, send it to
link
me.
Link to it in the show notes of our friendship, which is a text message.
Yeah, that's right. A text thread. Yep. My last thing is, again, this is like simple joys of working from home. Do your housework while you're working. If you can, it's great. So for me, before we started recording, I put in a load of laundry. Later today, I have a work call where I expect that I will either be watering my plants inside or weeding the ones outside. But like, there's something so fucking wonderful about being done with your workday and also being done with your housework. And being like, then you get like hyper rest time where there's just like, I don't know. I have a crowded, anxious brain that if there's anything that is not done yet, my brain will latch onto it and can't relax, right? So there's something that is like deep, 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 taking care of my own needs by like getting things tidied, getting the laundry done, getting whatever things done while I'm working is like the greatest to feel like, I really did that day. It's really done. And I don't have anything else to do. And now I can just like, whatever, go watch some horrifying documentary and text you about it.
So that I then don't have to watch that horrifying documentary, which I'm very grateful about.
Sure. Thanks. It's really nice that you've taken this like very maladaptive hobby that I have and have turned it into like a little bit of a service.
It's like the perfect set up for me because there are so many documentaries that I really want to watch, but I know that I don't have like, I'm not like spiritually or psychologically strong enough to do it without it like ruining my day, but you watch them and tell me about them. So it's like, I get it without having to put myself through it. So it actually works out really well. I actually should have said this earlier when you were talking about like adapting like hustle culture things for your own purposes. I have found that like integrating things into my day from when I worked in an office, there are some things that were really great and that I try to do them. And they work even better now when they're like divorced from like working in office. So co-working, I'll like get on Zoom with like a friend or two. And we're not really like talking or hanging out. We're all just like doing our work. Maybe the occasional like chuckle, I just read this funny thing. But like mostly it's just like sitting in a room together working, which is a good time. Sprints. So we used to do this thing at BuzzFeed, which was we would clear out an entire day and just work on writing stories. So like no meetings, no pitching, nothing but just like writing. And they were called sprints. And, you know, we would like order lunch and we would all sit in a room and do it together. And it was like really fun. And so doing sprints is another thing that I've started to do just by myself where, you know, maybe I have like a few podcast things I have to plan or I have something I really need to write or whatever. And I just kind of set aside the day and do a sprint. That's been really fun and a thing I try to do. And then also like, I think a big thing is like having no meeting days or parts of days where you don't have any meetings. Obviously, it's not possible for everyone to be like, I don't take meetings on Fridays. But if you can say like, you know, if you could, if like, if you're able to like say no to meeting requests on like Thursday mornings or something like that, or like from 3 to 5 on Wednesdays, like say, you know, block that off and just like know that that's a thing. That's a time when you're not going to have a meeting. That has been amazing and a lifesaver for me.
Dude, this is a thing that I end up doing. I have not called them sprints or had like a name for them, but I block out whole days where I'm just like, I'm writing a book. I got to go be off writing a book. So for this week, 3 of my days need to be no meetings days, which is easier for me to do because I'm a writer and there's just not a lot of meetings that come along with that. you know, it's just different. But it has been immensely helpful to just be like, my only job today is to write this chapter or to finish these citations or to do this one thing. Again, for anxiety brain stuff, it is so helpful to just be like, there's one task. And if you do this one thing today, you did it. Congratulations.
Totally. And I think also if you are someone who works on a bunch of different kinds of projects, which is a thing that I do as a freelancer, and it can be difficult for me to shift between writing and then editing and then doing administrative tasks and recording a podcast, sometimes it really helps for me to just take one of those and put it totally on its own day and take away all the shifting and stuff like that. So, you know, maybe that's something that really, if you can really only do if you're a freelancer or you're self-employed, but if you do have control over like when you do certain kinds of projects, I found that super helpful.
Yeah, totally.
Well, listen, I feel like we both have a lot of tips, but we should wrap it up.
Oh my God, we should. Genuinely, I could do this for like 3 times this long.
Oh, same. This is part 1 of 15 of working at home. But before we end, let's talk about a nice thing to end on. Aubrey, I am intrigued by your nice thing to end on. You want to kick us off?
Yes. I feel like my nice thing to end on is almost always a British panel show.
Nice.
Today is no different. There is a delightful, deep, weirdo British panel show that I've been enjoying a great deal. It's called Question Team. It's hosted by Richard Ayoade, who is like an unbelievably funny person. The concept of the show is this. It is a trivia show. There are 4 contestants, I think. Each contestant participates in all of the rounds except the round that they write. So each person presents a round and everyone competes in all the other rounds as well. So you will get deep, weird stuff. Like someone will be like, I'm just doing a round on general knowledge, or I'm doing a round on the 90s or whatever. And someone else will be like, no, for this round, you have to learn how to operate a marionette puppet and do it to my satisfaction or whatever. That's not a real one, but like
that would be a great one, though.
There are very interactive ones. There are like, there's the fascinating thing of like people pitching something and being like, my round's going to be totally easy. And then it's like impossibly difficult for someone who doesn't live in the same rabbit hole that that person lives in. It's deeply, deeply funny. It's deeply off the wall. And I have just been enjoying it a great deal. It's called Question Team. If you're not in the UK, it's called Question Team. It's all comedians. It's really delightful. In the US, I am able to find quite a few episodes on YouTube. I recommend it.
That's awesome. Okay, YouTube. That was going to be my question is where do people listen? So we'll add a link in the show notes. That's great. That sounds amazing, as do all the British panel shows you've told me about. Okay, my nice thing to end on is the Netflix show, The Last Kingdom. Aubrey, ooh, are you familiar with this show?
Not one bit.
Not one bit. Okay. So this is a show. I think there are a lot of seasons of it. Let me see. I guess there are 5 seasons. Okay. And this season 1, at least, is about Vikings v. Anglo-Saxons in the 9th century. What I will say about this show is that if you like either historical fiction or Game of Thrones, but want the main character to be hotter and want it to be soapier, then this show is for you.
Oh, wow. Who else in it?
No one I've ever heard of.
Okay, great.
I don't even think it's worth me saying names of people because I don't know who they are. But the main character, Uhtred, son of Uhtred, is just a beautiful man with long hair, and he wears a little, it's like his hair is down, but he has a little bit up too. And he has like this cute, like, beard. Anyway, it's really, I'm not going to say good, but I will say it's really enjoyable. So we are like almost done with the first season, and it's, every episode I want to say is like an hour long. Every episode feels like kind of a feature length movie, but in a good way. Like we never watch more than one episode because every episode there's so much happening that it feels like we just watched a movie. Anyway, it's really fun. I didn't know anything. You might find this surprising. I didn't know anything about 9th century English history. So I'm having a lot of fun learning, and I don't, by the way, it's fiction. It's not history, but it's like, it's inspired by things that happened. And I'm at a point in my life where I don't need to learn the actual things. I'm fine with like inspired by the actual things. I count that as learning history. So that's what I've been doing. It's really fun. It's all on Netflix, and I highly recommend it.
Okay, that's delightful. Like, I'm a hard sell on sort of fantasy kind of stuff, and it feels like this is like getting into that realm, like a hard sell, but that sounds killer. And also, I will say, if you are describing someone as a beautiful man, that's a statement. Famously not a fan.
Famously not into beautiful men, except the only man I think I've talked about in such glowing terms is Justin Theroux, who I famously think is just delicious.
Well, and Adam Scott, yes?
Oh, and Adam Scott, right, of course.
Yeah.
How could I forget? So this doesn't have any like magic or dragons or anything like that. Mm. So that might also help in terms of like the fantasy thing.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Oh, I Like That. Please rate us and review us.
Follow us on Twitter at Oh, I Like That Pod. And you can email us at ohilikethatpod@gmail.com. You can follow me on social media at YRFatFriend. And you can follow Sally at Sally T.
This episode of Oh, I Like That was produced by Sally and Aubrey and edited by Aram. Amber Seeger designed our logo.